what should we do with the jungle? That big, rough homeless encampment near SoDo, underneath where I-5 meets I-90. A new report from city officials basically says the jungle is unfit for human habitation. Huge piles of trash, human waste, needles, vermin. These are health risks. These are fire hazards. What should we do? Some city leaders say shut it down. Others say make it habitable for people by bringing in services like trash bins and plumbing. Pat Murakami is with the South Seattle Crime Prevention Council. She wants to see the jungle closed. Also joining us is Tsukina Blessing with the Real Change Street newspaper. She wants to see the jungle become safer for the people who live there. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Pat Murakami, why do you want to see the jungle shut down?
Well, first of all, it is a crime to be living there. And if we make it more comfortable, all we're doing is supporting criminal activity. Also, it's not pleasant to live in a tent in the rain. It's dangerous for the people that are living there. They need to be in a better, safer facility.
So how would it work? Move people on? You're trespassing. Where do they go? What happens?
No, I think we need to assess people. I think it's going to take a long time to go in and assess where everyone is. Do they need mental health services? Do they need drug or alcohol rehab services? Are they criminals that have outstanding arrest warrants, or are they unregistered sex offenders? And deal with each person based on their needs or their situation. But before we even start that, as we go in there, we need to ask the people that aren't from Seattle to go back home and give them a one-way bus ticket back, and then bill those municipalities for sending their folks to us in the first place.
More on that in just a moment.
Okay,
Thank you, Pat. I just want to get with Tsukina. You have said you want to see the jungle made more habitable. So what would that look like?
So really, it's a harm reduction strategy. It would look like cleaning up the jungle. It would look like trash removal, porta potties, garbage cans, simple things, hand washing stations. You know, we actually just voted in the city council $200,000 for the support of unauthorized tent encampments for that very kind of thing, to make it safer for people. Until we have alternatives, that's all we can do.
Well, what about alternatives? You know, for example, the Seattle Times today reported that there are beds in a nearby Salvation Army rehab shelter. So do we really not have enough alternatives?
Well, there's 30 beds there. There's 400 people in the jungle. So right there, I can see a bit of a math problem. But beyond that, how many of those beds are just for single men? And are couples, people with children, people with service dogs? And the other question I have is, Bill, how would you feel about sleeping in a room with 35 roommates you didn't get to choose? There's a lot of people with anxiety issues. You know, PTSD is just endemic on the street because life on the street is really stressful and traumatic. And so people often find it difficult to sleep in a shelter with 35 roommates they didn't get to pick.
Pat, you say you want to shut the jungle down. The city reports about 400 people live there. You said you want to give them one-way tickets, but how do you know where they would go? Where would they go?
They would go back to their hometowns. We have, on a per capita basis, 10 times the number of homeless people that they have in New York City. New York City was able to reduce their homeless population between 2014 and 15. Ours went up. And it's because outside of Seattle, we are known as Free-attle.
So there's no guarantee, though, that somebody's going to board a bus. So how, if people stayed in town, how would we find the resources to house them?
Or not be expected to support all the nation's homeless. They will have to leave. I mean, if we don't provide services, they will leave. If we say it is illegal to be camping here, you have to move on, they would leave.
What if they go into the neighborhoods? Is that better?
Well, they're already going into the neighborhoods. So the people that live in the jungle aren't families with children that have excessive medical bills or lost their home. It is dangerous. There's a lot of criminal activity. I've gone on cleanups as a ride along with the police. I know how horrible the jungle is, and they are going into the community and stealing and causing problems already.
I wonder, do each of you feel like your approach, forget the neighborhoods for a moment, but what is most compassionate for the people who are living in the jungle? Tsukina, how do you know what is the right thing to do? We heard about Pat talking about, you know, enabling people and being free-addle. What's ultimately compassion here?
Well, first of all, this free-addle is a bit of a myth. You know, 87% of the people who were surveyed in King County came from King County. So, you know, that's not very many people. And the reason it works in New York is because there is a constitutional right to shelter. That's how they can make things go down, is that you have a right to be sheltered anywhere in New York City. So in terms of what's compassion is allowing outreach back in. What's compassion is getting our state above number 46 in the union for mental health access. What's compassion is not 3 months typical waiting time for treatment, but something faster. What's compassionate is shelter. But until, you know, and housing, especially housing, we can't just keep warehousing people, whether that's a jail or whether that's a shelter. We actually have to get people into homes. That's how we end homelessness, is with homes.
We've had this conversation for so long. The jungle has been around for so long. What makes you think that it can or will be cleaned up now?
Well, I do have great hopes that, you know, the mayor is doubling the housing levy, causing a state of emergency, and people actually beginning to talk about it instead of denying it, and the possibility of opening the rainy day fund for the state. Those all seem possible. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, it's been here 30 years at least. But we can actually do something to change this from the place of last resort, when you have no place else to go, this is where you sleep, to there not having to be a last resort, to where people can get inside into homes. And basically, it takes restructuring away from being a real estate bubble town that serves the interests of Amazon and Google to something that actually cares for everyone.
Okay, last question. Pat Murakami, if we evict people from the jungle, they go who knows where. Why not just make life habitable? This is an intolerable situation for the people who are there. We could go in and improve their lives.
Well, again, it's illegal to be there. And when we enable people to commit crimes, then what other crimes do we turn a blind eye to? Not everybody would have a problem living in a dorm. We can build dormitories for people that are safe, warm, and much more respectful of them than having them live in the jungle. And we don't need to do things like DESC did in the Rainier Valley, building units at the cost of over $300,000 per studio apartment. That's a ridiculous amount of money to spend to house the homeless. The more money we put into the system, the worse the problem gets, and the more unaffordable housing becomes in Seattle.
Pat Murakami with the South Seattle Crime Prevention Council, Tsukina Blessing with the Real Change Street newspaper, talking about what to do about the jungle. This conversation will continue. Thank you for having it right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
KUOW's The Record.